What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Motivate, Grind, Succeed, the podcast where we empower you to level up your life in faith, fellowship, fitness, and finance through practical tips and takeaways in each and every single episode. Guys, if you enjoy the show, go ahead, head over to the Motivate, Grind, Succeed website at motivategrindsucceed.com. Go ahead to the very top of that address bar. You're going to see a link called Rate Show. Click on that and you'll be redirected straight to either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, where you can go ahead and rate the show however you feel that it helped you out. If you do so, just letting you know, it really does mean the world to us. If you want to as well, go ahead, join our email list and become part of our inner circle, guys. You're going to get the inside scoop on new episodes, exclusive merch drops, upcoming events, and some really big upcoming news coming soon, guys, that you're not going to want to miss out on. Telling you, you do not want to let that FOMO get the best of you. Sign up and be able to unlock a world of excitement. Guys, and finally, if you want to get some more, even more exclusive content, you guys can head on over to mgsclub.club, where we over there have a whole bunch of merchandise. We have some free ebooks for you guys. Go ahead, check it out if you so desire, and see what else we have to offer. But with all that out of the way, guys, we are going to be talking this week about effective communication skills. Okay, effective communication skills. Effective communication is a multifaceted skill that encompasses various components. And the first key component of that is, in fact, clarity. In order to communicate effectively, it is crucial that we express our ideas clearly and concisely. We need to avoid using ambiguous or convoluted language that might confuse our audience members. Because remember, the goal of when we communicate with each other is to ensure that our message is easily understood by other people. So think about this, right? You're at work, you're at school, you're giving a presentation to your boss, your teacher, your peers, whatever. Doesn't matter. Whoever it is you're giving this talk to, the idea of it is that whatever you're delivering on needs to be clear. One tip that I give myself all the time is, am I explaining this in a way that someone who's 5 years old can understand? That is something that I try to keep close to heart when I make these episodes as well. Is this something that somebody between the age of 5 and 7 would be able to understand? I know sometimes I'll throw in some big words here and there, and there's a time and a place for that. But generally speaking, is at least 80, 90% of what I'm saying applicable to the ears and minds of someone who's in the single digits of age? Just keep that as something to think about and something to be wary and knowledgeable of as you're creating your presentations. Another important part of effective communication is being aware of both the verbal and the nonverbal cues. Verbal cues will include things like the words that we choose, our tone of voice, the pace of our speech. You have to pay very close attention to your tone and to your inflection, as it can convey a lot of different emotions and intentions. A good example, let's say you're trying to ask somebody the question, did you mean to do that? I'm gonna give you two different inflections here. One is gonna be going up at the end, and one is gonna be going down at the end. Hear me out. Did you mean to do that? Did you mean to do that? Because of those two different inflections that are there, one of them, when we went up, saying, did you mean to do that? Almost sounds like I expected more from you. It almost sounds like you had higher expectations for the person and you almost felt disappointed. Versus when you go with a downward inflection, did you mean to do that? It's also a level of disappointment, but it's in a way that's more scorning. Okay. When you go up again, when you go up with the inflection, it almost sounds like I'm shocked that you did that, versus a downward inflection is more of a scorn or a disciplinary style. So you'll hear, just simply by conveying that different tonality and the inflection in your voice, can convey massive amounts of difference when you're giving a presentation. Nonverbal cues, on the other hand, those refer to body language and facial expressions and gestures and all those kind of things. Basically, if someone's not talking, that's probably a nonverbal cue. These are actually even more audible than actual verbal cues. Let me explain what I mean by that. Nonverbal cues make up majority of communication. You could be saying anything you want, and then someone could be crossing their arms, crossing their legs, slouching over, yawning, looking at their watch, checking their phone. They haven't said anything, but yet each one of those actions has shown you that they're probably feeling a certain way about a situation. Versus you're talking about something and someone's sitting up straight, giving you straight eye contact, taking notes, you know, maybe leaning forward and with their hand on their chin and just watching you and nodding and then thinking. They're looking like they're pondering thought. They haven't said anything, but yet what they've done with their body language has demonstrated and actually vocalized more than if they actually had said something in the start. Pay attention to your verbal and to your nonverbal cues, because as you're communicating with people, you'll begin to realize, oh, if this person is saying something in a specific tonality, they might be feeling offended. They might be thinking about something a lot. They might be going into pondering. They might be going into thought. They might be trying to question why you're saying what it is that you're saying, just to try to find insight. Or if they're nonverbal, let's say the all common one, their feet aren't facing towards you or something like that. That means they're probably not fully into the conversation. If they keep looking off to the side, looking left and right, they're probably not fully into the conversation. Maybe they have anxiety. Maybe they just hear a lot of stuff going on. Maybe they have ADD. But the point is that they're not fully involved in the conversation at that point in time. So look for those cues and also be cognizant and wary of you giving those cues off in conversation as well. Moving on to the third effective communication skill and tactic here, we're going to talk about the art of active listening. Okay, effective communication is not just about you expressing yourself, but also about actively listening to others. Because when you actively listen to others, you're demonstrating that you value that speaker's thoughts and opinions. Active listening also involves you giving your undivided attention. So kind of what we talked about in that nonverbal cue with the feet facing away, right? It involves your undivided attention. It involves you maintaining a lot of eye contact and showing empathy through nodding or other supportive gestures or things of that nature, right? One technique that I love to use that you guys can for sure steal and copy here that can help you to enhance that active listening capability is by using reflective listening, also kind of known as mirroring. You've probably heard me talk about this in past episodes, but reflective listening / mirroring is doing the following. If someone gives you this long paragraph of information, what you're going to want to do is paraphrase or summarize what that person said. That's reflective listening, because this is showing, oh, not only are you being able to restate the person's thoughts and being able to try to tell them, hey, I heard what you said, it was XYZ, but it also helps you to prevent you from misunderstanding, because then you can say, are you saying, and then you say what they said in a shorter version. If they say yes, then you know you understood correctly. If you say no, the person will then correct you and say, hey, well, no, that's not quite what I meant. What I meant to say more was, and now, but the person at least knows you're listening and you're trying to understand. Either way, it's not really a lose-lose. And then on top of that, use the mirroring tactic, where if what the person is saying doesn't really involve or really require reflective listening, you can use mirroring, which is when you repeat back to them the last sentence or two of what they said, and you can reflectively listen on that mirrored part of the conversation. So instead of reflectively talking about an entire paragraph of what they said, essentially reflect on the last sentence or two. That one's a lot easier for people to start doing, and I actually recommend that to a lot of people. Like when you want to start learning active listening, work on reflective listening on the last two sentences of what the person said, and then work your way backwards from that to then being able to reflective listen on an entire paragraph of what they said. You don't want to just jump in the deep end if you've never done this before and just start trying to paraphrase entire paragraphs, because you're going to burn yourself out mentally because you have not been used to doing that before. So if I had to make a recommendation, I would say start doing the mirroring / reflective listening on the last 2 to 3 sentences of what that individual is saying, and then repeat that back to them. They'll still get the effect that it feels like you're listening, and then from there, work your way backwards from that. So, with all that in mind, I know I've thrown a lot of information at you, but we have more to go. So We're going to explore some strategies for expressing ideas clearly and concisely. One effective technique is to organize your thoughts before you speak. That's why when I'm making these episodes, here's a peek into my back end here, I script out my episodes. Not necessarily word for word all the time, but what I like to do is I like to script out the main bullet points and the highlight sentences that I do want to say. So it's kind of a mixture. If you ever see my scripts, you'll see that half of them are usually full sentences because I scripted them in a way that I specifically want to say something a certain way. And then when we get to parts like this, it sounds more ad-libby because these are more bullet points of things that I want to explain. These are things that I want to be able to drive home. These are going to be more personal anecdotes or things that just come off the top of my brain as I'm talking. Like right now, I'm doing ad-lib. Like there is nothing in my script right now that's allowing me to say exactly what it is that I'm saying right now. But because I have the bullet point of just saying ad-lib here with personal anecdotes, that's how I know I have now some creative freedom to be able to do that. But that only comes when I'm able to organize my thoughts with scripting what I want to say before I speak. Now, you can use this via a Word document. You can use it via note cards before you give a presentation, however you want to do it. But you need to gather your ideas. You need to structure them in a logical form. And then you need to anticipate the potential questions or concerns that your audience might have. Now, this is a really good tip that I learned from a good home slice bread slice named Brendan. He runs Master Talk. So if you ever have an opportunity, go check out his YouTube channel, Master Talk. He's great at doing public speaking and he's a public speaking coach. But one thing that he taught me when we had a conversation is that what you want to do is that whatever talk you're going to be giving, you want to be able to anticipate the questions. Ask yourself a question that you think somebody might ask you. And do one, two, three a day and be able to answer that question using all the other tips we talked about, be able to answer it concisely, succinctly, and in a way that potentially a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old can understand. Let's say we just do one question per day and you have 30 days before your presentation. That's 30 questions you've already answered. How much more prepared do you think you're going to be for that presentation now that you've answered 30 questions that could be potentially asked? Now, this is not to say those exact questions will be asked, but this is to get you more comfortable in the fact that if someone asks you a question, you won't be seen as a deer in headlights, being like, I don't know what the answer is. No, you already know because you've already practiced ahead of time. Second tip that I have, or the second strategy rather, is to adapt your communication style to your audience. You have to know who in the world it is that you're talking to. If you're talking to kindergartners, don't be acting like you need to defend your thesis statement, okay? That's not gonna work. If you're trying to defend a thesis statement, don't start reading a Dr. Seuss book in terms of the vocabulary and the jargon and the diction that you're going to be using, okay? If you're talking to a kindergartner, yes, you're going to want to use simple words that they can process and understand. If you're talking to someone who's more PhD level, you can use more words like jargon and colloquial and antithesis and all kinds of big fancy schmancy words, right? But you have to know who it is that you're actually talking to, and you have to tailor that message towards them. Rule of thumb that I've learned throughout my speaking engagements and my speaking gigs, whether it be through public presentations, public speeches, when I was in speech team giving different kinds of orations and speeches, is what you generally want to do is tweak it. So that way, again, as I said before, you're explaining it to people as if they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. This doesn't mean water down the information and use goo goo gaga words. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is take the high level information and be able to shrink it down to a level where somebody of that level can understand. There's a YouTube video that I watched about somebody explaining astrophysics. I believe it was astrophysics or quantum physics, one of the two, but it was a very, very high level of physics to different age groups. And I believe there was one where they explained it to like a kindergartner and then maybe someone who's in middle school and high school, college, and then of course their like-minded peer. And the individual, she did very, very well at breaking it down to each of those individual levels. If you have a chance, go find a video, go watch it, because it was a really, really good video and it's really driving home the point that I'm saying here. is that you want to be able to tailor what it is that you're saying to the audience that you're talking to. It's going to require doing some research. It's going to require some effort. But if you really want this presentation of whatever you're doing to hit home, you got to know who it is that you're talking to, what they resonate with, what's their pain points, all that good stuff. So that way you can be able to really bring home that message so much more. And lastly, practice. Practicing is key, guys. Effective communication is a skill and it improves simply with time and with effort. What you want to do is seek out opportunities to engage in conversations, engage in those presentations, allow yourself to be able to go into these public speaking engagements and these public speaking gigs. Each experience that you have is going to help you to learn and to help to apply the lessons that we talked about for these past like 16, 17 minutes or so, and be able to allow you to refine your communication skills and be able to form you into a much more well-rounded individual. So again, if you want to, a very good tip, go to the store, find somebody who is there. In fact, we actually talked about this in the last episode, I believe. So if you haven't watched episode 121 or listened to it, definitely go ahead and check that out. We talked about this exact thing in that episode. But if you just want to go to the store, walk up to somebody who's in like the cookie aisle or the bread aisle or the soft drinks aisle, and then ask them, hey, I'm trying out this new diet. Do you think this bread works good on this diet? Do you know? If the person has had experience with the diet, they'll say yes or no. If they haven't, they say, sorry, I haven't done that before. I can't give you any advice. Or they might say something like, oh, I had a friend, a boss, a coworker, a family member, or whoever do this, and then they recommended this or they didn't recommend that. Either way, it's just to open up the conversation. That's the whole point of it. Open up the conversation, get used to opening a conversation and then judging it based on that. If you really want to go the extra mile, then you can start saying, oh, your family member used to do the keto diet. How did that work out for them? I'm just getting started in it. And then they can tell you some more information. And you can do the mirroring. You can do the reflective listening. And then you can start going back and forth and having a conversation. If you're not comfortable with that, fine. Just open the conversation, ask the question, whatever they say. If it's something that's going to be a quick conversation closer, they say, no, I haven't had it before. You say, okay, thanks. Have a nice day. You're gone. You're done. But the point is, you need to practice these things. I know it's scary. It's fearful. You don't want to go talk to people, but that's the only way you're going to get better at this is if you practice it, and practice it some more. And that's it for this week's episode, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the best podcast in the world, Motivate, Grind, Succeed. And I hope you got something valuable from this week's episode. If you enjoyed the show, again, go to the MotivateGrindSucceed.com website. In the top address bar, you are going to see something that says rate show. Go ahead, click on that. It'll give you two buttons. You either rate it on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, whichever you so desire. Either one works for me, and both of them would mean the world to us. If you want some more behind the scenes content, some exclusive insights, some more information, some more behind the scenes information, maybe even more information than what I gave you on this podcast episode, more examples, more tips that I can't share on this episode because time constraints, join the email list. Get part of that inner circle. I send out stuff like this all the time. Promise not to spam me because I hate spam myself. Lastly, if you're passionate about supporting the show, guys, go ahead, check out the mgsclub.club website. That link's going to be down in this episode's description. Go ahead and check that out. We've got ebooks, we've got clothes, we've got all kinds of stuff over there. Go ahead, check that out. Support the show if you so desire. We also have donations there as well. So whatever you guys want to do, there's plenty of spots for you all to go ahead and check out after this episode. All I ask is that you take some action and do one of them. If even just sharing the show, that's fine too. Whatever you guys do, all I ask is that you guys take some action and do something. Definitely incorporate some of the tips that I said in this episode, and I guarantee you, over time, you're going to start to see your communication skills improve. Take care, guys, and I will see you all next time.